Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. We're going to look at Now That I'm Saved, What Comes Next, Part 4. This will be the final in this series. And if you will turn to Matthew chapter 5, we're going to start in verse 13. And this is the instruction Jesus gave in the Sermon on the Mount. He said to the people out there listening, "You are the salt of the earth." Verse 13, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." Well, beloved, that is good instruction for us today. We are the salt of the earth. We are the salt of this culture. If America needs anything now, it needs salt. It needs being brought back to the Word of God. It needs straightening out. There is so much hatred and vitriolic chatter going on out there. If you follow the news after a few days, you just want to run screaming from what you see and what you hear. There is so much hatred and anger and dissension, and you just wonder how this country can keep from being ripped apart at the seams. And yet we know that as believers in Jesus Christ, as born again believers, we are the salt of the earth, and so we are to salt the culture. We are to salt those that we come in contact with. God has a plan for you. He has a plan for me. And just like food without salt is tasteless and you have a hard time tasting it, you want to reach for the salt shaker to give it some flavor, to give it some taste. So it is here in America and really truly all over the world that Christians, the born-again believers, are the ones who give the culture the compassion, the flavor, the salt to preserve. Can you imagine this life? Can you imagine this earth and all of the countries? Can you imagine them without Christians to build the clinics, without Christians to build the Bible colleges, even the great universities in the eastern part of America? Yale and Harvard were all started as Bible colleges. And so can you imagine what this earth would look like without Christians to bring peace and to bring sanity to many situations? And so that is the salt that we are to be in the culture and in this country of America that God has placed us in. Well, Jesus goes on to say in verse 14, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house." And verse 16, "So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Well, beloved, God has given you the light of Jesus Christ inside of you. That is the light, the Holy Spirit of God. That Spirit of God that resides in you is the Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit then gives you counsel. The Holy Spirit gives you direction. The Holy Spirit gives you guidance, but it also provides that light within you so that others can see that the Spirit of God is within you, that the Spirit of God is what propels you. It gives you excitement. It gives you passion. It gives you motivation. It gives you all these things. And so that Spirit of God then is the light inside of you. And so Jesus said, you are the light of the world. You're not to hide your light. Darkness can be dispelled with just the light of one light bulb. When you go into a room, the darkness can be dispelled by the light of one light bulb, and so, or one candle in the corner. And so God's desire for you is to let your light shine so that others may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. If you never let your light shine, if you never go forward to proceed and to do the good works that the Father has for you to do, that He has outlined for you to do, if you never go forward, you're just a secret agent Christian. You're a silent Christian. Nobody knows that's what you believe. Nobody knows that you're born again. Nobody knows that you speak for Jesus Christ, that you are the light of the world. You need to put your light on a lampstand so that others can see it, that others can know that you are a believer, that others can know that you are aligned with Jesus Christ, and that the light of Jesus, the light of the Holy Spirit, is within you, and you can glorify your Father in heaven through the light that shines within you. Well, beloved, after we understand that we are salt and light, then we also understand that we have been predestined to be conformed into the image of Jesus. Paul talks about this in Romans 8, verse 29. He says that whom he foreknew, that is us. We are the ones that God foreknew. He foreknew every single person on the face of the earth. He foreknew those who would be born again. He foreknew those who would reject him. But that does not take free will away from us. That does not say that we do not have free will. We have the free will to accept Jesus, to come to him. But it does not surprise him, because God is omniscient. He knows every single person and what they're going to do in their life and how their life will end and how their life will begin. And so he says, Paul says in verse 29, Romans 8, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to this image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn of many brethren, or among many brethren. And so Jesus Christ is the firstborn, but you are predestined to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the first fruits of all creation, given back to God, 1 Corinthians 15:20. But you too can be fruits of creation given back to God. You won't be the first fruits. Your number will come up 1 billion something probably. But still, you have been predestined to be conformed into the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. And beloved, that is your pattern. That is your template. That is your goal, to become like Jesus as you work out your salvation, as you work out your sanctification. Sanctification is the process of you being set aside to do the work and do the will of God. That sanctification means that God is taking you from outside the mainstream culture. God is taking you from without, and he is placing you in the kingdom of God so that you can look like Jesus, and then you can start to accomplish the things and the purposes for which God has you to accomplish. And so you have been predestined. God spoke that over you, just like he spoke over Jeremiah in chapter 1 of Jeremiah. He said, Jeremiah, I have appointed you to be a prophet to the nations, and I have appointed you to pluck up and to tear down and to raise up. And it is the same for you, beloved. Whatever God's has for you, you need to be in search of that. You need to submit to him and just say, Lord, show me your way. Lord, show me your will. Find out for yourself what God's plan is for you. And I can tell you, when you get on that search, your life will be exciting. Your life will have meaning. Your life will have purpose. Many of you out there, you don't know what your purpose is. Your life has no excitement. Your life has no meaning. Your life has no passion. And so therefore, you don't know exactly why you were created. And God's will is that you find out why you were created and start to move in that destiny, start to move in that calling. And when you do that, beloved, when you find out what you are created for and what your highest calling, your highest purpose is, then you will have fulfillment and you will have satisfaction. You will have peace. You will have joy. You will have happiness. All of those things that you desire for yourself, then God will reveal those to you and you can start to walk in those things. In Psalm 37:4, King David said, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. When you start to delight yourself in the Lord, when you start to serve Jesus, when you start to serve God Almighty, and you delight yourself in serving them. You delight yourself in knowing them and just being in their presence. When you delight yourself in that and in praising and in worshiping, then you will start to have those desires of your heart, the things that you desire for yourself. And I'm not necessarily talking about material things, that your garage is going to be full of things. Americans already have their garages full of things, but many are unhappy. Many of them have no joy. They have no purpose. Many of them are hooked on drugs, either legal or illegal. And so God's will is that you have a passion, that you have a desire, that you have a fundamental joy in your life that transcends whatever circumstances are happening in your life. It transcends the death of your friends. It transcends the death of your family. All of these circumstances that tend to bring people down, divorce, loss of job, all of these things, God says you can transcend those when you search for me, when you find me, and then you start to walk in those things that I have for you. You start to walk in your destiny, that you can know me in a deeper and more satisfying way. And then, beloved, after your sanctification, then you start looking for ways to serve. You start looking for ways. And if you don't know of any place you can serve, just ask the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, start opening up doors for me to serve. I want to serve you. And God knows your abilities. He knows your talents. He knows your skills. He knows everything that you can do and can't do and want to do and don't want to do. And so the amazing thing about my call to Africa, the Lord knew I loved to farm. The Lord knew I loved to go out there and plant seeds and dig the weeds in the dirt and all that. And the hardest thing for me was to give up my farm here in America, and yet God gave me a place to farm and a place to work on the land over there in Kenya, and we have a 4-acre parcel where we plant beans and maize and watermelons and all those good things. And so God allows you to use your abilities. He promotes you in ways that you can use your abilities. The scripture says in the Proverbs that your gift or the gifts that you have will allow you to stand before men, or will give you standing before kings. Those abilities that you have will be then used by God, because God is a God of efficiency. He wants you to use the skills, the talents, the natural attributes that you have that help promote the kingdom. He wants you to use those then to bring glory and honor to Him. Well, so in Philippians, we're going to look at some things that Paul has in the way of encouragement for us to serve. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, Paul says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself." Well, if you start looking at others and see what their situation is, if you start looking at others and say, okay, Lord, show me, how can I help these people? How can I serve these people? When you come down off of your pedestal and get rid of your pride and humble yourself and say, Lord, I want to serve the lowly in the kingdom. I want to serve the lowly on the face of the earth. When God sends you someplace to serve, you will be overjoyed. You will be full of contentment. If you've never been on a short-term mission trip and you think you would have a desire to do that, I would encourage you to do that. Get signed up to go to Mexico. Get signed up to go to Haiti. Get signed up to go to Guatemala or Costa Rica or someplace outside of the United States, even to go to a Native American reservation or Native American homeland here in America is like going to a foreign country. But I would encourage you to do that. Get outside of your own little world. Start looking for something bigger than yourself. Start looking for some way that you can serve your fellow man. And when you do that, when you start to put others' needs before your own, and you start to help those who need help, the helpless who need help, when you start to help them, then God will bless you. He will give you fulfillment. He will give you joy that you've never known before. And so Paul says, in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. When you quit worrying about your own problems, when you quit worrying about all the things that you don't have, or all the things that you would like to have, or all of the places that you would like to go, when you quit worrying about that and start looking at the problems that others have, then you will have joy that you've never known before in your life. Paul says in verse 4, Philippians 2, let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Well, we know Christ Jesus went to the cross because he cared about every single person on the face of the earth. He was not concerned about the suffering that he was going to have to go through. He did not shrink away from the cross and run away from what God had called him to do, because Christ Jesus had in mind to serve every single person on the face of the earth. Christ Jesus wanted to serve, and he did that. He said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And so if you take on that same mindset, if you take on that same lowliness and esteem others better than yourself, then you're going to be able to serve them, and you're going to find joy and fulfillment in serving them. I can't tell you how many times I've been humbled in Africa. I go to places where people have no food, their clothing is just rags, and they live in mud houses, and yet I love to go into those places. I love to go into those houses and pray for people. Many times in the village around where we planted the church there in Makunda, I go around the village and pray with people and spend some time talking to them. I want to humble myself. I don't come in a big car or a helicopter. I walk into their compound, spend time with them, hearing about their physical needs, hearing about their spiritual needs. And so this is a very fulfilling thing for me. And beloved, you will find the same in your life, that God will point you in places where you can help those who need help, and you can help raise up those who are in desperate situations. Verse 6 in Philippians 2, let this mindset be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Verse 6, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery, or in other words, he didn't consider it something to hold on to be equal to God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Jesus did not lord it over people. He washed the feet of the disciples. He did not lord it over people. He didn't come to set up an earthly kingdom where he could sit on a throne and have people bow to him and have people bring their gold and their silver to him. Jesus came in the form of a bondservant. He came in the form of somebody lowly. He did not consider it something to hang on to, that he was equal to God. But he came as a man with no reputation. Beloved, we need to keep that mindset that we are not better than anybody else. That if God has given you money, you need to use some of your money to help people who don't have food or don't have shelter or don't have medical supplies or a place to live. If God has given you talents to preach, you need to humble yourself and say, I want to share the gospel with those who don't know the gospel. If God has given you the ability maybe to be a car mechanic, you can use your talent to help people. Maybe someday give your labor away. Maybe some days blessings upon people through your talent, through your ability, through your skills. And if you take the form of a bondservant, that is to say, a bondservant has been given his release, but he does not leave. He wants to stay in that situation and serve. Even though he has release, even though he has freedom to go, he wants to stay and serve. And that is our position in the kingdom of God. We are all bondservants, just like Jesus Christ was a bondservant to his Father and to his fellow men. Well, Paul says to work out your salvation in Philippians 2, verse 12. He says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Well, what does Paul mean by that when he says, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling"? That doesn't mean you're hoping that you get saved by doing good works. You're not hoping that at the end of your life you've done enough good works that now when you stand before God, He weighs your good works against all the evil things that you have done, and He says, "Okay, your good works outweigh your evil works." No, that isn't what that means. What He means is that when you are saved, when you confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, as the Christ in your life, the Messiah in your life, He comes to save those who are lost. As you confess Him, you work out your salvation. You continue to work on being more like Jesus Christ. You continue to work to be more conformed into the image of Jesus Christ, so that when your last day on earth is done, you can stand before God and He says, "You look just like Jesus. I've always seen you as Jesus." When Paul spoke that, he was saying to us that we are viewed by God as Jesus Christ. When God sees us, He sees His Son, Jesus Christ. When God sees us, He doesn't see the sin. He doesn't see the ugliness in our life. When we are born again, our sins are washed away. And even though we continue to sin, not willfully, hopefully, but even though we continue to stumble and sin, God looks at us, and when He sees us, He sees the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. And so as we work out our salvation with fear and trembling, we stay in fear of God, the beginning of wisdom. Fear is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And so we work out our salvation with fear and trembling, knowing that we stand before a holy God, that at some point in time we're going to be standing in front of Jesus Christ, and His eyes of flaming fire are going to look through us. They're going to pierce us. And so when we stand before God, we want to know that we have done the best that we have been able to do, that we've done the best that we could do. And so Jesus then will say, "Come in, my good and faithful servant." Well, I'm going to close here in verse 13 of Philippians chapter 2. God works in you, beloved. Just remember this. Don't go out as a weakling. Don't go out thinking that you can't accomplish anything for the kingdom. Don't sit there in the church week after week and say, "There's nothing more I can do because I don't have any power in my life. I don't have any power to do the things that God wants me to do." Verse 13, "For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for His good pleasure." Beloved, God works through you. He speaks through you. The words of God coming out of your mouth have the same power as they do coming out of anybody else's mouth, even God's mouth, because it is the Word of God. Verse 14, "Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and innocent children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." Well, beloved, Paul gives us encouragement to go out and do those things that God calls us to do. I give you encouragement. I'm not the Apostle Paul by any stretch, but I give you the encouragement that God gives you. And beloved, if you will go out there and step forward, step out in faith and look for those ways and then do those things that God has called you to do, you will find joy. You will find fulfillment. You will find peace. That's not just from reading God's Word that you can know those things. It's from experience that I tell you, after serving the Lord for many years, this is joy, this is fulfillment, this is peace, and you then will be the light of the world that God calls you to be. Well, beloved, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We invite you to partner with this ministry, not only to keep these radio broadcasts coming, but also to bless the projects in Africa, the orphanage project and the crusades and the other projects, the church plants that we have going in Africa. And so I invite you to partner with us. Stay tuned for contact information. We have a new book offer coming out, and you will want to get that book with a donation to this ministry. Thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.